global awareness. These are the key words of a culminating project that began in the 2009-2010 academic year of Lehigh University. Known as the Chinese Bridge Project, the idea and the structure continues to promote American student awareness of China by means of various bridging programs. Chinese pavilion structures throughout the world have always been places of rest, reflection, recreation, and cultural artistic interaction. The Chinese Harmony Pavilion, erected on Bethlehem South Side Greenway, will be dedicated on April the 20th at 1:30 between Webster and Taylor Streets and will be magically officiated by the Wizard of New Zealand. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1, Allentown, Bethlehem. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today with Professor Norman Giraudot of the Religious Studies Department and Humanities at Lehigh University, with Marcus Brandt, Master Carpenter of the Chinese Pavilion, and from the Department of Asian Studies, Dr. Donning Wong, as we explore the intentions and the adventures of the students and the grown-ups as they worked closely with the neighborhood, civic organizations, and the city. We welcome you.
Thank you for having us on.
Hi, everyone.
Yes.
We actually have a very crowded studio. This is very exciting.
This is very exciting.
I'm only here for the beer.
Okay. too early. So, Norm, we were talking a little bit before the show. We might as well start with a little bit of background. And I was fascinated that the seeds of this project actually lie with Ken Burns.
Yes, indeed, that's true. And I'm very glad that you mentioned that so we can let the audience know that aspect of how this all came about. And I will try to be brief, but I hope your audience appreciates being a professor. That's really tough sometimes. So let me just say that it goes back really to 2003 when Ken Burns was the commencement speaker at Lehigh. And he gave this wonderful, wonderful talk. I mentioned to you before that commencement talks are not always particularly scintillating, but that this was absolutely superb, and it really held people's attention in a very special way. And one of the things he said was that his very first job was to make a film on the Brooklyn Bridge. And he got very much involved in that and realized that he learned a very profound lesson, which was that in the world that was emerging at the end of the 19th century and certainly now in the 21st century, the key to knowing the world and living productively in the world is to bring together the technical side of things with the aesthetic or humanistic side of things. And the Brooklyn Bridge is a very powerful symbol of that. So in other words, I had bridges on the mind, and I had my situation as a humanist at a school that still is known as the engineering school. I wish we could get over that, because it is true that the Arts and Science College is the largest college now at Lehigh. But nevertheless, the point is that this became a wonderful metaphor for me. I spoke with some colleagues in the architecture department and realized that I had a colleague who had just come back from China and was working with a famous Chinese scholar on something called the Rainbow Bridge. And again, there are many other things to say here, but let me just cut to the quick, which is that we all realized that we had an opportunity here to use this whole theme of the bridge, both literally, because we were talking about actual bridges, but also metaphorically in terms of bridging cultures, bridging disciplines, bridging history. And that's another aspect of this that my colleague that you will hear from quite soon, Wang Dongning, had been working on the history of Chinese students coming to the United States, and she can tell you more about that. But this was another bridging aspect of what we were doing. And then lastly, again, I'm getting stares from my colleagues here. There he goes, being a professor yet again. But simply to say to you that my colleague, my dear colleague here, Marcus Brandt, who George just referred to as the master craftsman, and indeed he is the master craftsman, and is something of a movie star as well. There was a movie made by Nova on the building of a Chinese ancient bridge in China.
And ironically, that's exactly the same project that your colleague
right,
was on,
right.
And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But.
Exactly. So anything, the point is one thing led to another, and wonderfully we heard about the Luce Foundation, which has a special interest in China.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all know, without any kind of special pleading, that in the 21st century, you better damn well know something about China.
Yes, absolutely.
So
it's very interesting because this is a project that is really encouraging the students to experience China on a personal level, not just sitting in the classroom reading about it.
Exactly.
Absolutely, splinters and all.
Well, and I think that is really one of the key issues here. That one of the other elements that was really important for us is to, yes, we have students read books, etc., but we also have them go to China and work with Chinese professors and students there.
And while we're in China, we actually crawled up on scaffolds and onto roofs and onto building sites and worked shoulder to shoulder with Chinese carpenters. I'll tell you what, that's some firsthand information there.
And, you know, China is so fascinating right now. It really is a kind of world laboratory for the architecture of the future. And in some ways, what is especially intriguing is that, you know, the most advanced architecture in the world right now is found in Shanghai and Beijing. One of the questions, of course, that comes to mind, that's wonderful and good, and you've shown the world you can do this, but what about your own tradition? And that became one of the issues that we wanted to touch upon in terms of the kinds of structures that we were focusing on, a bridge and then ultimately a pavilion.
And I understand that actually we were talking about in terms of finding, as opposed to the modern building going on right now in China, an ancient manual that you use as a resource?
Yeah, the tradition manual we're using is looking for in the Song Dynasty's Yingzao Fashi, which was one of the only the documents actually to record it, how the Asian craftsmen to make the tradition, the bracket in the wood structure. And it, by the modern technologies analysis, the stress distributions, and is really, really very, very makes sense. Marcus can tell about that.
Well, in doing this project, of course, it's a public space and public land, so we had to have it stamped by a licensed architect and approved and engineered by a civil engineer.
Sure.
And what's really interesting is this 1,000-plus-year-old design winds up being exceptionally resilient, exceptionally strong, very resistant to wind damage because the roofs are dang heavy. We've got about 10 tons of tile up there.
And the other thing just to add, when Marcus says that technologically this ancient structure has a genius to it in terms of its technological
genius
significance
and elegance.
It's incredibly beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's incredibly
But it's also very complicated.
that's the point.
I used to have hair on the top of my head. It's all ripped out now.
The Brooklyn Bridge at the end of the 19th century was one of the most sophisticated and advanced technological structures. At the same time, it was an object of beauty. You know, and you could make a case, as a humanist, I would be quite prepared to do so, that the best technological structures are the ones that are produced in the spirit of beauty.
Yes.
Anyway. Well, there's a magic to elegance, and elegance is simplicity. And this, if you take the materials that wood is, and wood comes from trees, it's a natural material, and you apply some physics and some Euclidean geometry to this thing, and you start playing around with it, the mysteries just unfold in front of you. I could and perhaps should write a whole book on just some of the mysteries we discovered doing this.
But that is part of the Chinese philosophy. Your human bodies with the nature is harmonic. It's combined together. So the bridge is part of your spiritual, your physical, your environment. So it's not only the bridge, actually the pavilions. Everything, a tradition, the mindset, is part of that. We're part of the heat nature.
Everything is interconnected.
I understand that the pavilion that you were the craftsman for, Marcus, really has a unique Chinese puzzle-like corner bracket.
Yeah, well,
especially for instance,
classic Chinese building from about 1,000 years ago, this bracket system is called the dogong.
Dogong.
Yeah, thank you very much. I had one of those senior moments. And what's really interesting is it's if you look at a tree, the way it grows, you have this big trunk, and you have lots and lots of branches and little bits. Well, with this system, you can use all the branches and little bits to make the rest of the building. You have the big part of the tree for your columns, and all the other branches and the bits and pieces go into the upper portion just like a tree. Mm-hmm. And the longest rafter, we have a 24-foot roof. The longest rafter is only 7 feet long because with this system, you can make a very large building out of really small pieces, so it's very sustainable. It's easy on the forest. It lasts a long, long time. There's some real elegance to it.
And actually, it can be replaceable. In a long history in China, if one piece gets ruined or destroyed, it's easily to can replace. So that is the reason.
We saw a pagoda. This is what we built as a pavilion. What we saw in China is a pagoda. Right. We saw one that you could still see where the cannonballs from the Civil War had blasted through this thing, and it was perfectly fine. It took the injury and carried on. So there's this redundancy to this, the whole system.
Obviously,
really quite elegant.
In a culture like China that is earthquake prone, this kind of structure is perfectly adapted to that
built
kind
to
of
take
situation.
A shake.
You know, it is also true that one of the, some would say, the anomaly of Chinese cultural history is that unlike the West, which some would refer to as a tradition of monumental construction with stone, the Chinese were the great masters of wooden construction. And you see that throughout the tradition, really down until today when they're taking over Western techniques. But wood is certainly the sacred matter.
Well, wood basically is the yang elements, yin yang in China, in the Yi, the book of the change, and the life, because wood is more life. Mm-hmm. If you go to the other life, you're using stone. So wood is represents that.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the West, we Western carpenters just say wood is good.
Wood is good.
What's interesting, though, when you're talking about the harmony of the use, the way that it's sustainable, it uses every bit of the tree, it's replaceable. And Norman, you're talking about beauty. There's something beautiful. So there's even a harmony to that which is almost mechanical, or that which is the puzzle pieces are harmonious.
Yep.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm.
So, in fact, we certainly invite all of our listeners to make a point of going to see the pavilion. Yeah. And when you're there, please stand at the corners and look up at what we just referred to as the dogun, these corner brackets.
And there's a perfect opportunity to do that on the 20th when we're going to have our our bridge. To get a shameless plug.
Well, it is Greenway and it is Earth Day. Everything is natural. So elements, that is all connected together, you know.
So we're going to have a blowout party to dedicate this pavilion.
Yes.
And we're going to have a friend of ours come and help us.
Not only a blowout party, I hope the Lehigh Valley appreciates the fact that for the first time in human history, we are going to have authentic Chinese chili as a part of the spring and forth, made out of tofu. Or actually, what Westerners call tofu, but in Chinese, tofu. Bean curd.
Bean curd. Yeah, right.
I think it's, I was going to say, I know we're going to be taking a break in a moment. I want to talk a lot more about the opening and how you see the pavilion's role in the community, its relationship to the Greenway. You're talking about Touchstone and the community looking at kind of embracing the story of the Chinese connection with Lehigh and with Bethlehem.
Absolutely.
So this is really
a wonderful story.
It's an ending and a beginning.
Yes,
this is
right.
a celebration of accomplishment and a beginning of a new
the
chapter.
The end is a new beginning.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. Well, we're going to learn more, really, about the Chinese Harmony Pavilion and the dedication on Saturday, April the 20th. That's at 1:30 at the Greenway. In just a moment, we are talking with Professor Norman Girardot, with Marcus Brandt and Dr. Nunang Wong. And we are examining and having a lot of fun in the studio talking about the Chinese Pavilion. We'll be right back after this salient message.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Zollner Art Center, featuring the Lehigh University Symphonic Band, Sunday, April 14th at 2 p.m. For information, 610-758-2787 or zollnerartcenter.org.
thank you for being with us here at WDIY at 88.1 at Lehigh Valley Art Salon. We are talking about the dedications on Saturday, April the 20th, of the Lehigh Bethlehem Chinese Harmony Pavilion and all the festivities that are going along with it. We hope that you will be there to share in the adventure. And Norman was mentioning just a moment ago that there is actual chili going to be served.
Chinese chili.
That's the key. Yeah.
What a misnomer. That's the hottest chili. Nothing chili about it.
Well, actually, that is Norman's favorite dish. So right, his recommendation.
There is actually a dish as a part of Chinese cuisine, Sichuan cuisine, called Mapo Tofu, which is actually a kind of often a ground meat, pork, beef, whatever, with tofu or bean curd.
Yeah.
And it's usually made quite hot with Sichuan peppers. And it's wonderful. And so we're going to do a variation on that. So people should, if for nothing else, they should come for the Chinese chili.
I wanted to ask about, you know, the we talked about the bridging project, and because it not only takes in the pavilion, but the bridging that has been done between the cultures in the classroom with some lectures and workshops, and also with an actual bridge that was built on campus.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you'll remember that Norman had mentioned that we had built a bridge in China. And ironically, there's public broadcasting for you again. WGBH Boston also sponsors NOVA. And I did two projects actually with NOVA. I built siege weapons in Scotland, 11th century siege weapons. That was cool. we'll talk about that in another program, ladies and gentlemen. And a year later, with Professor Tom Peters and others, we built a rainbow bridge under the auspices of Tang Lao Shu, a bridge expert, a traditional bridge expert in China. And so through the auspices of Norman's work, we got together and said, look, let's build one of these bridges here at Lehigh. Now, instead of a 60-foot bridge, we think it's more like a 16-foot bridge, but it's all built by hand. Every stick of wood came out of the forest. The stones came out of the creek bed right there, and there isn't a piece of metal fastener anywhere. It's all wood to wood to wood, very
Amazing.
Traditional joinery,
Amazing.
And it's right up on South Mountain. It's and the mountain bikers love it.
Oh yeah,
it's got this sort of rainbow hump to it.
And we can all visit that as well, can we?
Indeed, you can. You can all walk across it. We would love to have that happen.
And actually, Lehigh students really benefit from this learning experience because previously engineering students has only the theory. So this is really time in the lab working shoulder by shoulder with Marcus, has hands-on experience, this traditional wood. So combined with Chinese elements, but Marcus using his expertise in traditional German or, the Western style.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of learn. We learn every day new things through Marcus.
And some of them I made up.
Yes.
What do you call it, Marcus?
PhD?
Fakeology?
Yes.
Fakeology. Fakeology is the art and science of getting it done when you're not quite sure how.
We do want to mention that a grant was proposed and accepted from the Henry Luce Foundation, which was responsible for some of the work that was being done.
For a lot of the work that's being done, yes. We had quite a substantial grant from the Henry Luce Foundation, and as I think I mentioned before, the Luce Foundation has a special interest in connection with China, that Henry Luce, the founder of Time Magazine and Life Magazine and the whole empire that is today Time Warner, was born in China because his father was a missionary to China.
Mm-hmm.
And so over the years, they've always had this special interest in doing things. And actually, their specific interest was to get what the code word here is STEM, which is an acronym for science, technology, engineering, and math people, that is mm-hmm. technical people, mm-hmm. to realize that the beginning and end of all technical knowledge does not begin and end in the West, that today in particular, Asia is looming large, and there are things going on in Asia technologically that we need to know about, you know. Whereas before, there would tended to be an assumption, well, they've got to come to us. We don't have mm-hmm, to go to them. Mm-hmm. We got to get over that fast, you know. And sure. That's one of the things they were interested in. What we bring to the table. example, and I need to mention this, George, is one of the movements that I think we have dramatically demonstrated is that, yes, STEM is terribly important. We know that. But the key to powerful STEM is STEAM. You have to put an A into it, which is for the arts, the liberal arts. Yes, and that's really true. The Chinese, in some ways, know that better than us because they know the secret of American prowess is the innovation and creativity that Americans learn because we've always had that kind of artistic, creative element in the educational system. Mm-hmm. That's what they want to learn just at the moment when we tend to think that we no longer need to do that, that the arts are really struggling at this point. And so we have lessons to learn in all sorts of ways.
The other sponsors I know are the City of Bethlehem, the Fine Arts Commission, the City Planning Commission, the Parks and Recreation, and Southside neighbors like Hank's Auto, Holy Infancy, and Litzenberger House. But Lehigh University, of course, in almost all of the departments here I see are involved, not only the College of Arts and Sciences and Integrated Degree in Engineering and Arts and Sciences, but a very many of the disciplinaries in the university.
Right, and we're deeply appreciative of all of those agencies that supported us in all sorts of ways.
And we didn't have to break any of their kneecaps.
Great.
Yeah, I'm curious, too, if for folks that are that this might be new to or hear the show and are interested, and they go over on April 20th, and it's part of Spring on 4th. So there's going to be a lot of celebrating going on in town anyway, but what's going to be going on at the Pavilion, aside from the fabulous chili?
Well, indeed. Let me have someone else talk about this. Don't tell them about what's going to go on.
All right. We're arguing about who's going to talk here. One of the things we're going to do is firecrackers, which are very you can't do anything in China without some fireworks. Good Lord. We'll have a dancing dragon or lion this
lion
time.
Dance.
Lion dance. Traditional Chinese lion dance.
We're not lion. And
Marcus is the world's worst punster.
The students were learning. I got to interject a quick story about the Luce Foundation. You know, we noticed that with this flexible structure and the very heavy weight of the roof, that when you got on the roof and started tiling, the whole thing would wiggle a little bit. And one of the students says, "Look, this pavilion has loose foundations."
What did I just say?
So, but the paste of resistance, as we say, as far as I'm concerned, is my good friend, the Wizard of New Zealand, is coming to visit and help dedicate this. He's the only governmentally sanctioned wizard in the whole wide world.
He says on his passport.
The Wizard of New Zealand. I would love to be a fly on the wall when he goes through airport security.
Yeah, TSA is going to have a complete conniption fit.
He's 80 years old. Right?
Yeah, he's 80 years old this year. And he and I have been working very hard the last couple of years to help save the cathedral in Christchurch, New Zealand. So this is my excuse to get him to meet Norman, who's like his soul brother. So that,
you know, if I could just quickly add to what Marcus is saying, you know, the Spring and Forth begins at 11, and we will be doing the chili thing and so forth. There will be other things going on. Earth Day is going to be right in the same area where we are. But the other thing I want to mention is that Touchstone Theater is going to be doing a performance on what people are now calling the amphitheater, which is just a half block down from where we are. But the official dedication, where we're going to have speakers from the Luce Foundation, the Mayor of Bethlehem, people from Lehigh, the provost, and so on, that doesn't happen till 1:30.
Okay.
And the Chinese lion will go and get the Touchstone people and bring them there for that event, and we will have these wondrous activities at that point, which will culminate in the Wizard of New Zealand. So, you dare not miss this.
Well, we want to thank you very much and remind everyone who's out there listening to please get to the Chinese Harmony Pavilion at, of course, Webster Street. You know where it's at, the Greenway on Southside. And be there at least by earlier than 1:30, and you can see everything that's going on, the Chinese Harmony Pavilion. I want to thank you, our guests, for being here and talking about the Chinese Bridge Project, which I am sure, once we sit and look at the pavilion, we will have a sense of rest and reflection. recreation, and we will certainly have a cultural artistic interaction. Thank you. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you,
our pleasure.
George and
come
Kate.
On out
thank
on the 20th. Be there or be square.
Yeah. Right. Thank
you. For program support on WDIY, we thank the Arts Academy Charter School, serving students in grades 5 through 8, a tuition-free, arts-enriched public school. Academic curriculum is enhanced by classes in dance, figure skating, theater, music, and visual arts. Students have artistic as well as academic instruction each school day. For more information, arts-cs.org.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
The animated feature film, The Croods, has a kind of crude charm. Yes, there's lots of punching and smacking, fighting, rolling around, chasing, ugly faces, insults, and did we say fighting? And that's just the crude family of cavemen, or is it cave persons, and doesn't include the prehistoric creatures. Admittedly, I resisted seeing The Croods. It was a case of 3D animation feature overload. Also, I may have been wondering how The Croods could improve upon TV's The Flintstones. For me, the tabla rasa of prehistoric humor. So, I saw The Croods in 2D. After all, it was $17 for Oz the Great and Powerful, which wasn't. And while The Croods doesn't have the wink-wink, nod-nod jokes, double entendre jibes, and snarky dialogue of most contemporary animated features, parents nonetheless will be impressed with the quality of the DreamWorks animated feature. I was pleasantly surprised by The Croods. It will be enjoyed by the under 10 crowd. My favorite line in The Croods is when Gran Crude describes her first love, quote, "He was a hunter, I was a gatherer," unquote. The Croods is gorgeous to view when the journey to the huge Twin Peak Mountains starts. The colors are vivid, the flora and fauna are delightful, the sense is that of a Maxfield Parrish painting. The characters are something to behold, the skin textures, hair stylings, and those chic cavemen fur-covered outfits are wonderfully detailed. The facial expressions are very believable. Nicolas Cage is especially great voicing Grug, the father Crude. Less memorable but fine are the voices of Ryan Reynolds as Guy, the boyfriend, and Emma Stone as Eep, the daughter, who is more or less the film's protagonist. In supporting voice roles for the Croods clan are Catherine Keener as Uga, Cloris Leachman as Bran, Clark Duke as Thunk, Chris Sanders as Belt, and Randy Tom as Sandy. The symphonic score with original music by Alan Silvestri enhances the quest. The film is written and directed by Kirk D'Amico, who did Space Chimps, and Chris Sanders, who did How to Train Your Dragon and Lilo and Stitch, based on a story by D'Amico, Sanders, and John Cleese of Monty Python fame. The screenplay hits on a number of key points without which civilization would not have marched forward. Fire, flying, shoes, and yes, pets. And you can't have a civilization without being civil. Even the Crude family realizes this. The movie theater lobby poster for the Croods trumpets, The Journey Begins. So expect a sequel. The Croods is a big hit. DreamWorks, you might say, struck crude oil. This is one family I would like to see evolve. The Croods is MPAA rated PG for some scary action. Opening April 12 is 42. With the start of Major League Baseball season, here's one to root for. It's a biopic based on the story of Jackie Robinson and is breaking the so-called color barrier when he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Chadwick Boseman plays Robinson. Harrison Ford plays Dodgers exec Branch Ritchie. Scary Movie 5. You know the drill. A send-up of horror movies. What's really scary is that Charlie Sheen and Lindsay Lohan star in this one. To the wonder, all you need to know about this film is that iconoclastic director Terrence Malick is in charge. Did you see The Tree of Life, which he also directed? Oh, and To the Wonder stars Ben Affleck, Olga Kurylenko, Javier Bardem, and Rachel McAdams. This review is dedicated to the memory of Roger Ebert, the well-known and highly regarded newspaper and television film critic who died April 4 at age 70. I'm Paul Willistein of the Lehigh Valley Press at the movies for WDIY.